Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established Blood Dress Life. I am your host, Levon Diggett. Talking to my brother first thing this morning, as I normally do. Not every Saturday, but we talk often. And yeah, he was like, oh, what you want to talk about today? And I was like, you know, obviously it's Valentine's Day weekend, so I definitely want to get into that. But there's a whole lot of other stuff going on right now, family. And whenever you think you got it, things switch up on you and change, which is a beautiful situation to be in if you're doing a talk show. You know, to be totally honest with you, there's always something to talk about and whatnot, as in the case of this week. So I'm really focused this week on Valentine's Day and a question I thought of every year, which is, you know, Valentine's Day seems to be geared toward the women and buzzer, please, nothing wrong with that. But what do the men get? I throw that out every year, and it's always a interesting back and forth. But then there were two bombshells dropped this week. Jon Stewart announced that he's going to leave The Daily Show. He's been anchoring that show for Comedy Central ever, and you know that's a long time. You take the flow off of it. And then Brian Williams gets suspended from CBS. Like, wow. I mean, those are major bombshells, right? So I'm working these things, and I'm paying attention to what's happening and who's saying what about this, that, and the third. And then last night, I come home and whatnot. Well, my temporary shelter. As you all know, lost my uncle, so I'm back in Baltimore for that whole thing. You know, I've said bye to him spiritually. Now it's just time to say bye to him in the physical sense. And whatnot, you know, it is what it is. You know, again, as I've said, life, death is a part of life. I accept it and I move on. This is definitely different, you know, because we did not have a strong relationship in my youth, but we built a very strong bond the older I got. So it's definitely painful, but it's tough. You know, it was his time. He's gone, so that's what I'm here to do. So I came back to the room last night. I turned on the television because, you know, sometimes they tell lies. Vision does exactly that. It tells lies, and whatnot. I turned on the news, and boom, the freaking governor in Oregon handed in his resignation because his fiance supposedly is working the front and the back. She's using him to prop up her resume in order to get a job. Dude, this is scandal for real. Nah, I've never watched Scandal, to be honest with you. I think I've seen maybe a whole 5 minutes of Scandal. But I'm like, this is some Scandal stuff for real, right? And I'm like, whoa, you know, yo, for real? Like, this dude just won re-election not too long ago. His name is, oh goodness, I don't want to just slander his name. John Titchener. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Anyhow, he, 1 month after being sworn in for an unprecedented fourth term, he had to tender his resignation and whatnot. So this is, that's hot. Right? That's hot news. Like I said, it just broke last night, and I'm like, wow. Really? This your girl is like just getting you jammed up. One, and y'all, it's like before Valentine's, they're like, what kind of gift is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, that's what you get? Like, really? You know, let's be totally honest. This will be a Valentine's Day he never forgets. You know what I'm saying? Hey, good, bad, or indifferent. But he's a Democrat, and the Democratic leadership, called for him to step down on Thursday, and he followed up with such just yesterday and whatnot. So that is that's a hot mess that's brewing right there in Oregon. I don't know who's going to take his spot, so on and so forth. To be honest with you, I'm not going to follow it. But so far, if something else pops up on the freaking radar, then I'll get into that. But it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but I really don't. That's some boo loving gone wrong for real. When there was a skit on Dave Chappelle's show, if you all remember, it says when keeping it real goes wrong. That's when some boo loving goes wrong, in all honesty. But that's a ticket of tape out there in Oregon, I call it Oregon. I've always done it. I don't know why. Bringing things closer to home, though, the New York City police officer was indicted for the death of Akia Gurley. Now, this was the young man whom, if you all remember, I reported a couple months ago. He was with his girlfriend. They were walking down the stairwell in her tenement, her building. Again, it's the New York Emmy, let it be, her housing project and whatnot. It was dark, and the cop shot him and whatnot, and killed him in the dark. They were doing nothing but walking down the stairs. So I'll put this from the Huffington Post. This broke on the 10th. A New York City police officer has been indicted in the shooting death of 28-year-old Akia Gurley. Law enforcement sources told both New York One and the New York Daily News on Tuesday. A bullet fired by rookie officer Peter Lang, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, killed Gurley inside the darkened stairwell of the Lewis Pink Housing Project in East New York, Brooklyn, on November 20th. Although New York Police Department Commissioner William Bratton initially characterized the shooting as acting on discharge, Brooklyn District Attorney Ken Thompson announced in December that he was convening a grand jury to investigate Gurley's death. The spokeswoman for District Attorney Thompson on Tuesday declined to confirm the indictment to the Huffington Post, saying the office was precluded by grand jury secrecy. According to WMRC, Lang is facing charges of criminally negligent homicide, manslaughter, assault, and official misconduct. For months, protesters in New York City have called for the indictment and Gurley's death. Even a Staten Island grand jury declined to indict the officer who put Eric Garner into a fatal chokehold. Blah, 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 blah. On the night of November 20th, Gurley and his girlfriend, 27-year-old Melissa Butler, left Butler's 7th-floor apartment inside the housing project. The pair tried to take the elevator, but it wasn't working. that is the freaking norm in tenements. It really, really is. But so they entered the building stairwell. The building superintendent had requested that the New York City Housing Authority fix the light in the stairwell months earlier, but when Gurley and Butler entered, it was still dark. Just as they entered the stairwell, now check this out. The Housing Authority, I'm sorry, the building super says that he asked the Housing Authority to fix the lights, right, for months. Now, dig it. See how this blame game is just working its way around? She's working. my fault. Y'all ain't suing me, right? This is what it's all going to boil down to. Unfortunately, we have become just as much a litigious state as we've become a police state. So everybody's looking for a quick dollar. Everyone's going to sue everybody. And you, in some cases, rightfully so. In other cases, come on, dog. I mean, you know. Someone has to be held accountable. I understand that. But if we say that we are a nation, which folks, not all, but a lot of folks claim that we are a God-fearing, adhering nation, then when do we get to the point of saying some things are out of our scope of control, out of our realm of control? Some people, because it was their time to die. We cannot dictate how people are going to die. It was their time. You know what I'm saying? It happens the way God intended for it to happen. Doesn't mean that we like it. Doesn't mean that we agree with it. But it's happened the way that it was intended to happen. Some of those things I truly hold and believe are happening to send a message to other folks. This is what's happening. Let's, you know, you all need to fix this. If not, it's going to do nothing but get worse. This is what's happening. You all need to stop this. If not, it's going to do nothing but get worse. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you can't sue everybody all the time. You could, but what's the sense of it? You know, my uncle was struck by a speeding driver, right? To me, there's nothing that we as a family can do to that driver to ever bring my uncle back. There's nothing, nothing. If that person goes to jail for the rest of their life, not going to bring them back. If that person has to pay $17 million, not going to bring that person back. That's not saying that I don't think there should be some punitive measures taken, but, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, what more can you do? What can you do? Do what you can. Do your best to teach them and others a lesson, and let it be. Just let it be. Because if not, I feel that you're just pulling yourself down with them. You really are. You really are. But that's my opinion. One of the reasons I had the show, because I could say whatever I want to say. That's how I feel about it. I really do. But anyhow, let's see. On the night of the end of the building super, blah, 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 blah. Just at the end of the stairwell, two first-year police officers, Lang and his partner, Sean Lego, entered from the eighth floor. The two cops were conducting a vertical patrol in which officers walked a public housing building in an attempt to prevent crime. According to multiple reports, Lang was carrying his gun in one hand and a flashlight in another when he opened the doors to the stairwell. At that moment, a bullet was fired from Lang's gun, striking Gurley in the chest. Gurley managed to get down two flights of stairs before collapsing on the fifth floor, where a neighbor called 911 and Butler tried to administer first aid. Gurley, who had a two-year-old daughter, was pronounced dead at the hospital. He had been planning to surprise his mother in Florida for Thanksgiving the following weekend. Now, gun out, flashlight out. If the cops didn't feel safe, how the hell do you think the residents felt walking in and out of those stairs? I mean, let's just be real. You know, so unfortunately, this had to happen. I'm pretty sure they are going to sue the housing authority, which should be, because they should have fixed it. Sadly, no one thought ahead and spent a little bit of money on lights versus spending the big money on lawsuits, to be honest with you. You know, saving money isn't always saving money. Sometimes you got to spend money in order to save money. I understand everybody's budget is tight, but it would have been a hell of a lot better all the way around had folks invested a little bit of money in some daggone light fixtures, well, not even light fixtures, light bulbs, than on a daggone lawsuit, taking the life of a person who was just simply walking down the stairwell with his girlfriend. It is what it is. But that's the update on that story. Again, I think I will follow that one a little more. And the reason being is because he was indicted. I think that's the biggest reason I'm going to follow that one, just to see how well the system actually does work when it's put in full effect and brought to bear. So I'll be interested in that. Some buffoonery from this week. Two things happened. First thing happened was it was revealed that the Philadelphia Eagles, their calendar for this year in the month of February featured a white wide receiver. The brother's name is, oh my goodness, he has the name of an actor. What is that dude's name? It comes to me. And I know his name because I was just talking, I was just thinking about this. And he got himself entangled in some controversy for the start of the season. It comes to me. When it comes to me, I'm like, ooh, and I'll let you know. And I know you all are like, come on, dude, you don't know this dude's name. I'm like, it's I'm drawing a blank right now, but it will come to me. But anyhow, so that was like, really, who wasn't thinking in the legal office? Oh, I'm sorry, not the legal office, but the team's office about that. Seriously, like, Bradley Cooper, that's his name, Bradley Cooper. So it's like, yo, who wasn't thinking about this? At Black History Month, February, we got a white guy for the freaking player. Really? Really? Okay, so that was some straight up before. But then your man Steve Harvey. Now, no shade from me. You know, I don't hate the guy. I don't dislike the guy. He is a very smart man. He's a very smart businessman. He's definitely built an empire from every opportunity that he was given. You know what I'm saying? I definitely applaud him for that because he worked his butt off to do that. So he definitely gets my utmost respect from that. But he has gone on when I read the headline, I was like, what? So the headline was, and again, this is from the Huffington Post, Steve Harvey's response to his history enthusiast, I don't give a damn about slavery. And I was like, what was that about? You know what I'm saying? So you dig deeper and you realize that it's his out, because he says it's my out. When people are talking about something that I really don't have a grasp of, my response is, man, I don't give a damn about slavery, and I just walk off. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Funny. It is funny once you think about it in that context. But it's also sad. It's because someone who has built so much, you would think would want to or would have more of a handle on current events. And this is why I have so much man love for D.L. Hughley. You know what I'm saying? Widely known, this brother did not graduate from high school. He has a GED. But you would never know that if you talk to him. Steve Harvey went to college. I believe he graduated from college. I'll look it up, but I believe he graduated from college. You know what I'm saying? But you put the two of them in a room, Steve Harvey shouldn't have the only he could not handle the air. It would not even be a contest. It would not even be a concept in any way, shape, or form. He would be able to shut that brother down. In 2 minutes, he would just shut him down and dismiss him. However, DL's path to wealth and success has been a hell of a lot more tough than Steve Harvey's path to wealth and success. I believe, no personal knowledge of, no conversations with, I personally believe that this is because DL has chosen to stay on a path that would make such a task more rigid to he than Steve Harvey has. Steve Harvey has allowed himself to be put into situations where he benefited financially from them well, but he didn't serve the greatest message to the community as a whole. I remember some years ago when Denny's had their big stench with African Americans and problems of such, and other people of color, Steve Harvey became the spokesperson for Denny's. He did the same with somebody else not too long ago. And then when the Walmart controversy hit, I thought he was going to do the same then, and it didn't work out that way. Actually, Kevin Hart stepped up and became the pseudo spokesperson for Walmart. But then I think Kevin Hart had to change his mind because that didn't gain a lot of traction, and quickly those commercials went away. That run was very short-lived, and those commercials went away very, very quickly and stuff. So, you know, when he again, when he said that, and from the title of it, it grabbed you, and I'm like, and then I dug a little bit deep, and I was like, gotcha. But at the end of the day, he's a comedian. This is what he does. You know what I'm saying? He's a talk show host, just like me. He's there to stir up controversy and, you know, get the pot going, and that's how he makes his money, right? That's how he pays his bills. That's how he's able to afford the nice suits and the homes and the vacations and the cars and the jewelry and so on and so forth. That's what he does. Not mad about that, you know. But it caught me just totally off guard, and I'm glad that I read deeper, because I think I would have went a totally different way. And again, channeling my Audra, I know I would have probably went off, you know what I'm saying, versus just letting it be and flowing with it, you know. But that definitely got me going. Another thing that got me going, I want to say the middle of the week, SI reported that the Little League team from Chicago has been stripped of its title. It because supposedly they used a fuzzy map which allowed them to get players from outlying regions in order to participate. Now, no one was outside of the age limit, to my knowledge, and from the report that I read, but because they were not from the city of Chicago or the immediate surrounding areas, I'm guessing they should not have been playing on the team. So they lost their Little League championship title. Now, I saw that Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, has decided to still go forward with presenting them with some kind of award, maybe even the rings. I think they may have gotten them already or whatever, because in his words, as he was quoted saying, they're still champions in his eyes and eyes of the city of Chicago, which I agree with. Look, you know, my comment to this when it broke was, and I'll read the story, but my comment to this when it broke was, you know, how dare you say this to these kids, and we have all these congressional folks out here who would not have a job with those great government benefits had someone not come along and read you a map. So let's just keep it real. Let's just be honest. There are a lot of folks in Congress, there are a lot of folks who have gubernatorialships because somebody along the way read you some districts. So, hey, They played the game, literally and figuratively. They learned how to play the game very young, and this is what happened. But the story from SI, when it broke, is as follows. Jackie Robinson West, the United States champion at the 2014 Little League World Series, agreed to vacate his title after knowingly violating residency rules, Little League announced Wednesday. Mountain Ridge Little League and its team from Las Vegas was awarded the 2014 U.S. Little League World Series Championship. Las Vegas officials had said that Jackie Robinson West should be stripped of its title. Of course they would. Jackie Robinson West's manager, Darrell Butler, was suspended from Little League activity, and Illinois District 4 Administrator Michael Kelly was removed from his position. Little League Baseball opened an investigation to determine if the Chicago-based team used players that resided outside of the geographic area that it represents. An investigation showed that the team used an inaccurate boundary map and met with outside neighborhoods and districts in Illinois to recruit players to build a competitive team. Little League Baseball said it was alerted of a potential problem back in September when a league official from a neighboring district in Illinois expressed concern about residency problems with Jackie Robinson West players in District 4. For more than 75 years, Little League has been an organization where fair play is valued over the importance of wins and losses. Little League International CEO Stephen D. Kenner said in a statement, "This is a heartbreaking decision. What these players accomplished on the field and the memories and lessons they have learned during the Little League World Series tournament is something the kids can be proud of, but it is unfortunate that the actions of adults have led to this outcome." Kaiser said the decision to strip Jackie Robinson West of his title was necessary to maintain the integrity of the Little League program. Jackie Robinson West became the first all-African-American squad to win the U.S. title, beating Las Vegas before losing the international championship against South Korea. Okay. So, okay. So these kids went out, played, and won. But because some live in the burbs or wherever, they lost their title. Okay. Well, old saying still goes, she never proves. They were disciplined fairly, in my opinion. The rules are the rules. They did not play by the rules. They may have known, they may not have known, whatever. I am glad, though, that they will take, I'm hopeful, I won't say glad. I'm hopeful, though, that they will take this lesson as a very poignant lesson for them specifically, and hopefully it will motivate them to make better decisions about who they trust with their talents in the future. I'll leave that at that, without a doubt, because obviously they have some very talented young men, and I wish them nothing but the best as they move forward. All right, so let's go. Another injustice justified. So, New Jersey. Corey Phelan, he was jailed for 6 months despite an alibi showing him nowhere near murder. So, there was a young lady who was an exotic dancer, stripper, Denise Ramsey. She disappeared in 2011. She had been arguing with two men over money. She got into a car with them and wasn't seen alive again. Weeks later, in January 2012, an East Orange City worker found a 33-year-old woman's remains under a mattress near a train underpass. She had been stabbed to death. Two dancers working with Ramsey the night she vanished, and the go-go club's DJ told cops that year that they'd heard one of the men with Ramsey boasting of beating a murder rat in Atlanta, according to court records. In August, police showed them photos of men who had been accused in Atlanta killings, and one of the dancers and DJ picked Corey Fallon's picture. Investigators thought They solved the case. Newark Detective Josh Hadley and New York State Police Sergeant Thomas McEnroe traveled to Atlanta and questioned Fallon and sampled his DNA. Fallon was arrested in October on charges of conspiracy to commit murder. The only problem with that was Fallon, now 33, was working hundreds of miles away on the night. Witnesses say he was in the New Jersey club with Ramsey. Ample evidence, including timesheets from the Atlanta restaurant where Fallon was a cook, proved his whereabouts. Still, for 6 months, Fallon sat in jail. His letter to a judge finally spurred prosecutors to check his alibi and free him. Fallon said even his own lawyer didn't check his story. Yo, what kind of lawyer do you have when your lawyer doesn't believe you and or check your story? That is just sad, without a doubt. And I hope he got every bit of money back from this dude. But anyhow, the lawyer had heard there was DNA evidence tying Fallon to the killing, but this, too, was untrue. The lawyer heard. The lawyer didn't check. The lawyer just heard. I told them that I've never been up north in my life, not once, Fallon told HuffPost. I would hate for this to happen to somebody else. He missed the birth of his daughter. He lost his job. He was beaten up by inmates. His wife had to get a second job to pay lawyer bills. His 10-year-old son was disconsolate over his arrest. Fallon said it feels like his rights were trampled. The final insult came when Fallon got slapped with a $30 court processing fee. He said he paid it just to end the ordeal. I never should have went through this, Fallon said. And when he was free from jail, he said there was no sense of joy or nothing. I knew I was coming home. It was just a matter of time. Fallon has filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court in Georgia accusing police of violating his constitutional rights against unreasonable seizure and unlawful detention. The suit also accuses the Newark detective and state police sergeant of unlawful imprisonment and malicious prosecution. Good for him. The fact that Fallon's picture was used in a lineup of potential Ramsey murder suspects was a cruel reminder that in October 2007, he was wrongfully accused and cleared of a different killing in Atlanta. What is up with this dude? I'm trying to figure out, like, does he look like any other dude that just walks down the street? Now, I get that a lot. Like, people tell me all the time, I remind them of other people, but never to the point where, you know, I'm getting knocked off, or, you know, by Popo. But goodness gracious, the fact that the New Jersey Attorney General's office, which is defending Newark Detective Hadley and State Police Sergeant McEnroe, declined to allow them to be interviewed. Defense documents dispute some elements of Fallon's allegation. The officers swear in affidavits that when they questioned Fallon in September 2012, he denied ever setting foot in New Jersey. It wasn't until April 2013 that the officers say they first heard Fallon could demonstrate through work records that he was nowhere near the go-go club where Ramsey worked. The case against McEnroe and Hadley should be thrown out, their lawyer wrote, because the officers conducted a reasonable investigation and turned up witnesses who fingered Fallon as the culprit. The culprit, listen, in 2015, which, okay. The complaint fails to show that the officers acted with deliberate indifference with respect to Fallon's due process rights. Defense attorney Tracy Blackwell wrote in a motion to dismiss the lawsuit. The fact that it was later learned that the witness ID of Fallon were incorrect does not mean that probable cause did not exist at the time of the investigation. Though Fallon described a horrible experience for a crime he did not commit, chances are he'll lose his civil case, according to Alec Wallen, a professor in Rutgers University School of Law. Fallon's main problem is his contention that police had no basis for arresting him, but they did. Witnesses had fingered him in the picture, and on this basis, police had a warrant. The fact that they did not do further investigation of his claim to be innocent is morally outrageous, but not sufficient, Wallen said in the email. The law should require investigators like McEnroe to present those who are arrested with an opportunity to contest their arrest with hard evidence, he said. Meanwhile, Ramsey's claim remains unsolved. Police identified Johnny Bernard Jones III as a suspect in February 2013, but he has eluded a nationwide manhunt. Okay. All right. Follow-up to during the week, Bobby Christina was reportedly doing better. She's still supposedly in a medically induced coma, but she's supposedly showing improvement, according to a family member. And I hope that she gets better. I really do. You know, I hope no malice on anyone. This young lady has made through a lot and whatnot, and I hope that this is just another fight that she can win and overcome. But then we get some hate flying in Chapel Hill. Now, it's not a Duke, North Carolina thing, as I normally would talk about. It's actually a young man whom critics took the life of three Muslims because he doesn't like any religion. Let's be clear about that, all right? This dude is not one who is a religious fanatic in any way, shape, or form. He's actually the opposite. He's suspected of killing three Muslim family members in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He was known as a bully in the community. Neighbors say Greg Hicks, 46, was always irritated about noise and parking in the condominium complex where he allegedly shot and killed Via Shadi Barakat, Barakat's wife, Yasar Abu Salih, and her sister, Razan Abu Salah. On Tuesday, neighbors say they felt uncomfortable around him, especially when he regularly approached with a gun holstered on his belt, according to the New York Times. I have seen and heard him be very unfriendly to a lot of people in this community, Samantha Manis, another resident of the Finley Forest Development, told the Times. She says that Hicks displayed an equal opportunity anger and that he made everyone feel uncomfortable until he was emphatic about enforcing the complex's parking regulations and griped when he thought Manis made too much noise with friends. Imad Ahmed, Barakat's former roommate, said the victims had faced Hicks' anger before. He would come over to the door, knock on the door, and then have a gun on his hip saying, "You guys need to not park here," Ahmad told the Associated Press. He did it again after Yusor and Daya got married. Neighbors' accounts of Hicks' behavior before the shooting come at a time of increased tension over the murder investigation. Chapel Hill police have said they haven't ruled out the idea that the shooting was hate-motivated, but so far they have suggested an ongoing parking dispute fueled Hicks' wrath. Some Muslims in Chapel Hill, as well as the victim's family and friends, aren't buying the motive. Dr. Muhammad Abu Salu, the slain sister's father, called for a federal probe into what he says has hate crime written all over it. The FBI is launching a preliminary inquiry, but haven't yet committed to a full investigation, according to NBC News. The Chapel Hill police are also continuing their investigation. In a press conference on Wednesday, Hicks' wife Karen said that her husband was an angry man, but not prejudiced. This incident had nothing to do with religion or the victim's fate, but instead had to do with the long-standing parking disputes that my husband had with the neighbors, she said. He often champions on his Facebook page for the rights of many individuals, same-sex marriages, abortion, race. He just believes that everyone is equal, doesn't matter what you look like or who you are or what you believe. She has said she's filing for divorce from Hicks. Hicks is charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder. Again, another situation where this is Valentine's Day. This brother will not forget. Not only does he is he in jail for the murder of 3 folks, he's also facing divorce from his wife. It's shit. But the one that got me really pumped was the transgender woman in Texas who was killed by her boyfriend. Now, the story goes, a trans woman who was found dead on a Texas street was killed by a college football player she was dating, according to police. Carlton Champion Jr. was charged on Monday with the murder of Ty Lee Underwood, 24, according to KLTV. Underwood was found dead on the morning of January 26 on 24th Street in North Tyler, Texas. Police suspect Champion after Underwood's roommate told them she had been seeing a man named Carlton who played football for Texas College. Police said they eventually uncovered messages between Champion and Underwood that made it clear they had sexual relations in the past and allegedly met up the night of Underwood's killing. A jacket Champion allegedly wore on the night of the killing tested positive for blood, but it's not yet determined that it was the victim's. Police do not consider the killing a hate crime, but according to the Tyler Morning Telegraph, Champion's father told detectives his son didn't know Underwood was assigned male at birth. When news of Underwood's death first surfaced, her friends told local media about their comrade. She's a fan favorite. Kenya Dark told KLTV, everybody likes Ty. Now, I don't know if she went through the entire sex change operation or not, or he got spooked for whatever reason, because she hadn't gone through the entire sex change operation. I have no idea, but the very first story that I read said he found out that she was a male. So that leads me to believe that she didn't tell him, which, if they had a sexual relationship, means, well, not necessarily, because she could always just, it could have been just oral. It didn't have to be penetration. But anyhow, if she didn't tell him, how do you not do that? I mean, that was my initial question. How do you not tell somebody that? And I remember a conversation I had with a friend of mine who has gone through the process of sexual reassignment fully. Is totally a different gender at this point. I was like, well, how do you not tell somebody? It's like, well, because I am who I am now, so they don't need to know. But that ain't, I don't know about that. That's not like, you know, back in the day I had the clap and I got a shot and it's cleared up. Like, you know, that ain't coming back on you. The clap ain't just going to re-happen again and, you know, about, yeah, that's not like an STD that you once had that you no longer have. Like, that's one of them things that I would want to know. I would want to know. And, you know, dating nowadays, is it wrong to, like, ask that question? That's a good question. Is it wrong to ask that question? You know, that's like asking a woman her age, you know. I don't give a damn. I want and need to know, because I ain't trying to be R. Kelly. Just keeping it real. I want and need to know. I got to tweet that question. Is it wrong to ask? And now, in this day and time and age, is it wrong to ask if you've always been the gender that you now appear to be? That's a very good question, I believe. I would hope that folks don't take it as being offensive at all. But if they do, then, you know, the hell with it. Yep. I want to know. I really want to know. You know, I don't know what I would do if I really fell in love with someone whom I later found out was not always a female. That's one I really gotta ask myself about there, dog. That's a good question, for real. That's a really good question. You know, love is blind, but, you know, it's some things like, I don't know, man. All right, well, moving on, because I don't want to get stuck there. And this this had me rolling. This had me absolutely rolling. So when did this break? This broke just a couple of days ago. Yeah, last week. Alcee Lahmer Hastings is the U.S. representative from Florida. Now, during a Senate hearing recently, he got into a heated debate with a congressman from Texas, in which he said, I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it had me rolling. I think I can read the story better because I can't play the audio. It's messed up the whole show. So, recent card, things between him and Representative Protection got a little heated. And Alcee went total thug. He laid into the Lone Star State, calling it crazy and said he would never live there and all sorts of other things. And when he's asked to apologize, he flat out refuses. He might just be the coolest politician you've ever seen. And this is from boredombash.com. This dude said, the congressman from, and I remember the clip, and this is from early in the week. This is how much this thing had me rolling. The congressman from Texas said, you know, I really think it's unfair that you would attack the entire state of Texas you would label the entire state of Texas as a fellow member of the Congress. I await your apology. And he came back on the mic. He said, it will be a cold day in hell before you get my apology. So you can sit there and keep on waiting. Ain't going to happen. I died. Dude, that is gangster. But that's not the first time. You know, I'm blown because this is the first time I ever heard of this dude. But that's not the first time he, like, went off. Florida is always on some craziness, without a doubt. Kudos to this dude. I got to find out what district he's in. This is definitely worth an email and or a handwritten letter, without a doubt. He is so worthy of his job. You have to be proud of this dude. And I'm not saying that because, you know, he made those type of those comments or anything like that, but for a person in his position to stand up for his constituency, to stand up for the beliefs that he believes that his constituents have, to be bold enough to say, you know what, I don't give a damn. This ain't right. It's not going to be right. You're not going to convince me that it's right. I'm not going that way. I'm totally going this way because this way is right. Dude, you got to love that, dog. I have to love that. I respect that wholeheartedly. He's the man. He is absolutely the man, in my opinion, without a doubt. I'm loving this dude. I'm like, wow. I was blown. I was dying laughing. I think I caught it while waiting for my plane. He had me rolling, absolutely rolling. I was like, wow. I never seen anything like that, never heard of anything like that. It was just brilliant. In my opinion, brilliant. And of brilliance, I caught this story just the other day as well. So after Jimmy Morris found out his daughter's boyfriend beat her in front of her children, police say he took matters into his own hands, grabbed a baseball bat, and knocked him over the head. Props to you, Dad, because I would have done the same thing. The situation unfolds like so. When police arrived on the scene, Courtney Grace pointed the finger at Morris, but a crowd surrounding the pair said Grace was the one who beat his girlfriend, who was sitting in the bed of a truck with her hands holding her swollen and bloody face, according to the police report. Morris grabbed a baseball bat from his truck and hit him over the head with it. According to the report, police say Morris hit the 31-year-old so hard, the bat split in two. As a father of a daughter, you ain't messing with baby girl. It just ain't going to happen. It's not. It doesn't go down like that. I'm sorry. it doesn't go down like that. You know, and for these dudes to put their hands on women and they have daughters, I will never get that. How would you behave if some dude put his hand on your daughter? You would behave the same damn way. He got what he deserved. He got better than what he deserved. That dude is still alive. I might have planted him. I ain't even gonna lie. Might have planted him. That might come against me later on in life. Hell, it is what it is. You ain't messing with baby girl. Not gonna happen, Chief. Not gonna happen, Chief. Sorry. Sorry for your luck. It's not gonna turn out to be a good look for you. I'm letting you know right now, whomever you are, it's not going to turn out to be a good look for you. Please understand and believe it. Please understand and believe it. Not a good look, Brian Williams. So NBC has suspended Brian Williams for 6 months without pay. Reason? He lied. They ain't going to say it. I can say it. He fucking lied. He's making up all kinds of shit, stories surrounding his involvement in Iraq and other people's involvement in Iraq, and that's what got his ass fired. Well, not fired. Well, he's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. They left the door open for him, though. Brian deserves a second chance. Really? I wonder why Brian deserves a chance. If it was Tyrone, would Tyrone get a second chance? I don't know. But Brian deserves a second chance. If he's willing to take it, then Google. So right now, what's about to say? Lester, I can't remember his name, but he's sitting in for Brian Williams for right now. And that's, I don't know. I don't want to follow this story. I really don't. It's not one that really jumps off the page and like, boom. For me, Brian Williams is the tail end of the greats, to be real. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you walk it back. You look at what Walter Cronkite did. You look at Peter Jennings. God rest his soul. Man, that dude's awesome. You look at, what's that brother's name? And he's still alive, too. The white guy. I could see CBS. It'll come to me. What he did, Shaw, something Shaw. But no, Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw, there you go, Tom Brokaw. What Tom Brokaw did, you know, those were the greats. Those are the dudes that you run home to, you turn the news on, you want to see what they had to say. You want to hear their perspective. You know what I'm saying? You knew they were going to give you a great interview. You knew it. You knew they were going to give you a great interview. It wasn't just going to be some fluff. They were going to attack. They were going to hit with the real questions. They weren't just throwing grapefruits. They were coming through with some freaking hardballs, hard on the inside. They hit you with a slider. Hit you with a curveball. They going to back you off the plate. They like, no, yes, I'm so happy for you to be here. I'm so grateful, and I'm not going to ask you anything hard or make you feel uncomfortable. No, they were coming at you. You know what I'm saying? Luke Russell's dead. You know, Tim Russell, oh, my goodness. You ran home for these dudes. You wanted their perspective. You trusted them. You know what I'm saying? I never really got that. But Brian Williams, not feeling you like that. Nah, I'm not feeling you like that. So it really doesn't move me. You know what I mean? I mean, this didn't surprise me. I would say, to be real, it didn't surprise me. He when it broke, I'm like, yeah, he looks like the type. He looks like the type. He looks like the type whom would try to overhype something in order to move himself up the ladder fast, in my opinion. You know, now what caught me off guard was John Stewart. John Stewart this week announced that he's coming to the end of the train with the Daily Show. You know, now a lot of people don't recognize this dude is a comedian. If you look at, Adam Sandler movie. Was it Little Daddy, Big Daddy? I think it was Big Daddy. I think that was the name of it. John Stewart was in that movie. He was his roommate. He was the dude that was a lawyer and was always traveling and stuff. That was John Stewart. You know what I'm saying? Like, He's an actor. He's a comedian. This is what he does. But his show and the innovativeness of that show, man, beyond its time, without a doubt. And, you know, for him to spare the career of so many other people through that show, oh, man, awesome. Awesome platform. But as he said, you know, it's time. It's time for him to slow down. It's time to spend more time with the family because it's the Daily Show. It's on every day. This dude has to be on every day. You know what I'm saying? It's time. It's time for him to sit back, chill, take a breath, smell the roses, live a quasi-normal life as well as he can for as long as he can. And then if he wants to do some other things, whatever he wants to do, go into that. I appreciate it. I just want to thank him for his time, man, because it's been great. It's been great. It's been wonderful. And I know when the opportunity has presented itself and I've actually been able to see the show, I've always enjoyed the show. So, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever he wants to do in his future because he's a very bright man. You know what I mean? And he created that thing from scratch, and it's blown up into what it is right now, which is one of the leading shows on cable network. On cable network. And that's what's up. I apologize. The cleaning folks are trying to get in the room. And, I had to tend to that. I apologize. That's what that was in the background, man. But anyhow, as I said, I was traveling this week, so I have to do the show remotely and stuff. But anyhow, so that was that bomb. And then a great bomb happened when a North Carolina mother of four who had to quit her work to take care of her children, she hit the Powerball. 26-year-old Maria Holmes. She recently quit her job. She was working two jobs. She was working at Walmart and McDonald's to take care of her children, including one who has cerebral palsy. It's one of three winners of the huge jackpot. The young lady took her time. She met with lawyers and financial advisors to figure out what she wanted to do. And she's going to take a portion of that money and donate a portion to her church. And the rest, I'll read the story because I'm bouncing around it a little bit, but it's okay. Everything is all for them. Maria Holmes, 26-year-old Charlotte, North Carolina mother of four, told WPXI regarding her becoming an instant millionaire as one of three winners with all the numbers in Wednesday's $564 million Powerball drawing. All the struggle that I ever went through, it was all for them, said Holmes, whose winnings before taxes total $188 million. Holmes told the news station that she had to quit jobs at McDonald's and Walmart to care for her kids, one of whom has cerebral palsy. Now, she said, life has got a little easier. I just want them to understand that money doesn't change you, but it can help you. They don't have to worry about debt. They can go to college, all on me, and they don't have to worry about nothing. And I'm glad I can do that for them. She added, first, I'm going to pay my tithe, as I would have none of it if it wasn't for God. The news station reports that Holmes plans to buy a house and set up college funds for her kids, three girls and one boy, according to the news station. Holmes was headed to Raleigh, North Carolina, to meet with lawyers and speak to a financial advisor before turning the ticket to North Carolina lottery officials. The other two winning Powerball tickets were sold in Texas and Puerto Rico. So she's going to pay her tithe and set up college funds for her kids. Okie dokie. I'm not going to touch it. My brother was on me early. He's like, I know you're going to bring it up. Like, hey, look, y'all. I just had this conversation last night. You do whatever you need to do in order to get through. If you believe that paying your money to a church is somehow or another going to help you get through, then go for it. I don't believe that. That's not where my money is going. My money would go to folks whom I saw on the streets who were in need. My money would go to folks who are out here with nonprofits who need that dough. My money would go to folks whom I recognize in my neighborhood as young men and women whom are on the verge of being great, but they don't have that extra push to be great. They don't have that guide to get them over that hump. No matter how big or small that hump is, they just don't have that little extra there to help them. So that's where my money would go. It ain't going to nobody's church. Ain't going to happen, Chief. Ain't going to happen. Not my thing. Not my thing at all. First off, I don't think I can buy my way into heaven. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. You know, I think my deeds, I know, don't think, I know my deeds will get me there. So I'm going to be at peace with myself while I'm here on earth. And that means putting the money in hands of folks who have nonprofits that are out here doing great work. Let's be real. Let's be real. You're going to the soup kitchen, helping there. You know what I'm saying? There are times of the year when these folks are in need of donations and they just can't get them, especially during the summer months. You know, people don't stop being hungry during the summer months, but other people who have means are on vacation, so they don't have the opportunity to make the donations that they do during the winter months when they're usually home, right? So give it to them. Let them build a reward chest for those lean months when people aren't around, but they still need to provide the same level and quality of service that they do during the thick months when people are around and they're thoughtful. They're more thoughtful, i.e., you know, closer to Thanksgiving, closer to Christmas, closer to the New Year, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? That's where my money would go. That's me. I ain't mad. You know, you do what you do. You do what you do. In global news, well, it's not really good. Well, it is global news. So NASA launched a satellite that now allows them to map, literally, it allows them to map our water. The goal of the satellite is to help predict where droughts are going to be, who has a mass abundance of water, and, you know, who needs it, blah, 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 blah. So as a farmer, pretty soon, you know, you'll really be in the know as to when you should plant, when you shouldn't plant, where you should plant, you know, if a drought's coming, you can prepare for that, so on and so forth. It's going to be really, really cool. Well, there is a fear that America is running a risk of a mega drought that may last for decades. You know what I'm saying? So NASA, there's a precedent in contemporary weather records for the kinds of drought the country's west will face if greenhouse gas emissions stay on course, a NASA study says. No precedent even in the past 1,000 years. The feared droughts would cover most of the western half of the United States, the Central Plains, and the Southwest. Those regions have suffered severe drought in recent years, but it doesn't compare in the slightest to the mega droughts likely to hit them before the century is over due to global warming. These will be, oh, goodness, a fossil worthy of a chapter in Earth's natural history. Even if emissions drop moderately, droughts in those regions will get much worse than they are now, NASA said. The space agency study conjures visions of the sun scorching cracked Earth that is baked dry of moisture for feet below the surface across vast landscapes for decades. Great Lake reservoirs could dwindle to ponds, leaving cities to ration water to residents who haven't fled east. Our projections for what we are seeing is that the climate change, many of these types of droughts will likely last for 20, 30, even 40 years. That's worse and longer than the historic Dust Bowl of the 30s. when black blizzards towering, blustery dust walls buried sudden plains, homes, buggies, and barns in dirt dunes. It lasted about 10 years, though long it was within the framework of a contemporary natural drought. To find something almost as extreme as wet looms, one must go to medieval times. Nestled in the shade of southwestern mountain rock, eastern and central ancestral, Pueblo housing offers a foreshadowing. The tight, lively villages emptied out in the 13th century's great drought that lasted more than 30 years. No water, no crops. Starvation drove populations out to the east and south. Much, much worse. If NASA's worst-case scenario plays out, what's to come could be worse. Its computations are based on greenhouse gas emissions continuing to, on their current course, and they produce an 80% chance of at least one drought that could last for decades. Not four decades, but four, F-O-R, decades. Let's see. One even exceeding the duration of long-term intense mega-drought that could characterize the really arid time period known as the medieval climate Animale. I'm sorry. There it is. Man. Yo, global warming is real, kid. I mean, it is absolutely real. It is something that we all need to be cognizant of. And, you know, you really need to step up your game, for real, in order to prevent this thing from going crazy on you, for real. Because, like, yo, this is not a game at all. Not a game at all. And it's here. It's here. People call me a fanatic. I recycle as much as I possibly can. You know, it's cheaper and it's better for the environment for you to recycle a bottle, recycle a can, blah, 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 than for a new bottle or can to have to be made. So I'm going to recycle because I'm going to do as much as I can for my children and their children and their children's children to have something to breathe in easy versus all the smog and fog and all that other type of jazz. But that's me. And I hope a whole lot of other people get on board with that mentality and do their part because we can reverse the trend. We can reverse the trend. We got to want to. And we have to see the importance of it now, not later. We need to see the importance of it now. And stop allowing these fools in D.C. to stand up and say, you know, it's a man-made phenomenon. You're going overboard. You're just guessing, blah, 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 blah. That ain't true. We're seeing the proof in the pudding. We see it now. We need to address it now, not wait until later. Speaking of some proof in the pudding, the 50 Shades of Grey movie was released this weekend. And it's making all kinds of headlines, not only because it's making money at the box office, but it's also, supposedly, I haven't seen it, I don't plan on seeing it, supposedly a very violent movie. I was seeing an interview last night, and one young lady said, and actually one of my boys saw it, and he commented toward the same thing that she said. Take away the glitz, the glamour, the money. This is all about domestic violence. and it's not to laugh at domestic violence. I'm just saying how well it was masked. That's what I was laughing at. It's all about domestic violence masked behind a whole lot of money and a lot of shiny toys. You know what I'm saying? And with the recent events with Ray Rice and others, we don't... domestic violence in no shape or form needs to be glorified. You know, nothing wrong with getting your freak on if that's what you want to do. If you're a little rougher than other people when you do that, then that's what you do. But to benefit off that to the tone of, but I think it was. The movie was on track to make $60 million this weekend. is that the message that we want to send? Are we that misogynistic that, you know, that's it? Are we that misogynistic? Really? Is that where we are? Is that what? And if it is where we are, is that where we want to stay? And the, and is that where we want to be? That's the bigger question. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, again, as a man with a daughter, the answer to those questions are, we may be there, but that's not where we want to stay, nor is that where we want to be. So, okay, let's change it. Let's do some things and not glorify violence against women in for profit at all. Let's just not do that. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. Again, not going to see it. It's not on my top anything list to go see. I wasn't waiting for it. Wasn't thinking about it at all. Didn't want to see it. You know, it's not my thing. It didn't look like my kind of movie from the beginning, and doesn't look like my kind of movie after that. You know, after those comments came out and stuff. You know, I want to hit two other things before I sign off. One, I ran across this from NPR a couple of years ago. We reported, and, you know, it's funny how long the show's been on. We've been on 3 years now and stuff, and it's still going, you know. But, yeah, still going. Just doing our thing, and I appreciate every week that you all tune in, be it live or later, as I've said in the past, to hear what we have to say. A lot of changes in that time, but change is a part of life, part of the natural progression of life, and we take it with a grain of salt and keep moving. But a couple of years ago, we talked about a young man who was walking in the street, and he was run over and killed intentionally by some white kids in a pickup truck. And the young man was an African-American man, and he didn't know what happened. But recently, very recently, yesterday, I believe, the perpetrators were sentenced, and their judge read them a speech about it, and it's long, but I think it was on point, and I think it was very necessary to wrap it up, because I'm not going to read the whole thing, because it is long. He talks about the history of Mississippi and how the blood of folks who were just trying to seek change has stained the soil of Mississippi, and how these young folks have added to that blood unnecessarily. He talks about the pain of being a native Mississippian, I guess that's what they call themselves, and the reality of how Mississippi has treated African Americans during its history. And he is one of two African Americans to have ever served as a federal judge in Mississippi. He's only the second one, or maybe the first one. I don't know if he was the first one or the second. But so he read them this entire speech, and it just gave me a moment to pause, because as far as we've come, we still have a long way to go. Fortunately, we're reminded of that too often. You know, it's too often that we're still stuck on stupid, to be honest with you. We're still stuck on stupid too often. We should be stuck on stupid every now and again. We're stuck on stupid too damn much. So while I'm very hopeful in my lifetime that more serious and strong change happens, I'm even more hopeful that in my children's lifetime, a more serious and strong change happens. So, you know, I'm mindful of both, and again, working toward both, without giving, you know, not willing to give up one for the other. You know, I'm not one of them cats who's willing to, you know, take things just lying down, like, it just is what it is. It's always going to be that way. No, you know, it may be that now, but goodness knows what little pebble can be thrown in that pond to make some waves and make a change, you know. So I'm not above throwing rocks. I'm not above throwing rocks at both. You know what I mean? So that's how that goes. But in closing, well, no, that's not true. There's another story. As far as the Our Own Voices family is concerned, we lost a martyr this week as well. Rodney Smith contacted me during the middle of the week, and there was a young man whom he had modeled himself after, whom the gathering was actually started with, Sam Smith. He was a bookstore owner in Las Vegas, and he passed this week. He passed away this week, and whatnot. That is a huge loss for Rodney. He took it very, very personally. He's taken it very, very personally. He's taken it very rough and whatnot. And, you know, old folks say that that comes in threes. Hopefully, as a family, we've gone through our three, and we can move on to this shit here. This has been tough, man. Audra, my uncle, and now Sam. These are huge blows to our family. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that this is the final straw for some time. We can get back to a sense false or true of normalcy, and we can get back to focusing fully on the work that we set out to do, because that work is a very strong and motivating force. But whenever it's turned or twisted, momentarily derailed, you know, that force is weakened a little bit, and, you know, you got to build back that momentum and build your base back and get back to it, because folks are fickle. You never want to give them the sense that you are unsure or that you are not on point or up to task. You know, I've said a million and one times, we do the show 52 weeks more often than not. You know, there are times when I need some personal time. You know what I'm saying? There are other things in life that I need to tend to, and I can't always tend to them Monday through Friday, because Monday through Friday is when I have to go out here and hustle and actually make a dollar in order to pay for my gas and electric and put some food in my belly and put some clothes on my back and make sure the kids take care and so on and so forth. So every now and again, those things roll over, boil over to a Saturday. But more often than not, you know, we are here with you, for you, in order to do what we promise to do, which is just keep it real. Keep it real. You know what I'm saying? So that mission, that focus has never dwindled. I got a lot of calls, text, emails about the show on Audrapass. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue? Blah, 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 blah. And I never got it in my head that I wouldn't continue, to be honest with you. It will never be the same, but I never thought of stopping. I never really thought of slowing down. Admittedly so, it is more difficult to do 2 hours when it's just one person, without a doubt. So the show has gone from, you know, 2 hours regularly, usually a little more than 2 hours to be real, to about an hour and a half. And that's cool. My brother and I were talking about that earlier today. I was like, look, I got to leave it at 2 hour mark, though, because on the week that I do have guests, which I will be getting back to very soon. Again, unfortunately, I apologize. You know, life has just thrown me a lot of wrinkles here and there. You know, managing all of that, you know, being here for the family, making sure that these things are tied up and tied down, making sure that this transition, my uncle's physical going home service and all that stuff goes right. You all know how this stuff is. You know what I'm saying? It's very taxing on one. And not that I'm putting the show on the back burner, but I just have to be real about my time and what I can and cannot do. I can't do it all. You know, I'm just being real. I'm being human about that. I can't do it all. And yes, you know, those guests, as I've shared with you all in the past, sometimes it takes us months to get a guest. It takes us months because we have to coordinate with their schedule. They have to coordinate with ours. It's a timing thing, especially if they're on the West Coast. Like, yo, you know, y'all 3 hours ahead of me, kid. You know, I'm waking up at 8:30 in the morning to do your show. You know what I'm saying? If I do someone that's overseas, it might be 11 o'clock at night for them to do our show. You know what I mean? We make it happen, but it's not simple by no stretch of the imagination. But anyhow, yeah, we'll be getting back to having the guests and stuff. And when the guests come on, that's another half an hour to the show. So me running my jibs for an hour and a half by myself, I'm quite impressed by. You know, throwing a guest back in the mix, getting it up that 2 hour mark, that'd be, you know, just cake and stuff. But again, I wanted to say in memoriam, obviously, to Sam Smith, who was a huge influence upon Rodney Smith, and I just wanted to recognize him. But lastly, as I close out the show, this is Love's Weekend, right? This is Valentine's Day. And the question that I ask every year, it's a very simple question. What are you getting him? You know he's going to get you something, right? Because there's a couple of things that he wants. First off, he wants peace of mind. Without a doubt. And very few dudes want to come home with nothing. Not going to ask. Because they want peace of mind. Secondly, usually it's a piece of ass. Let's be real. So very few dudes, again, are going to come home with nothing. Because they want two shots of those peas. You know what I'm saying? But what are you getting him? So I'm going around last night and stuff. I had to pick up a couple items because, you know, whenever you travel, you try to remember everything. Usually you forget something. And I forgot a couple of things. So I'm picking up a couple of things. And I've seen these dudes just, like, scrambling, picking up stuff, animals, cards, and balloons. It's cold as hell in Baltimore. You're taking a helium balloon outside, and it's cold as hell. What is that balloon going to do? Shrivel. It's going to shrivel up in a heartbeat. I'm like, okay. But these dudes, I mean, they're just so unimaginative, so boring with their gifts. And I'm just like, okay, so you obviously have struggled all year with your relationship. Obviously, you struggled all year with your relationship. Because if you hadn't, you wouldn't be doing this. And I'm not saying not getting a gift, but you wouldn't be scrambling at the last minute to get this crap when you could do something more thoughtful. You know, you wouldn't be getting that little measly, squeezly $6-$7 bundle of roses from Walmart. Nothing wrong with getting roses from Walmart, but I'm talking about the crappy ones, because right now you're getting the crappy ones. You're not getting the good ones. You know what I'm saying? You would have gone to a florist. You would have, you know, worked this thing out a couple of weeks ago where it would have been delivered, blah, 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 or you would have gotten the prom pick, blah, 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 blah. I mean, all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Come on, dog. No, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, there are a couple of farmers markets here in Baltimore. I think there's about six of them. Now, one of them, the Cross Street Market, they are huge on flowers. There are about, I think, 3-4 different flower stalls there easily 3-4. This is the spot that I go to every year. Fresh flowers, they do a great job for you, with you, tie you up right. I mean, just the bows off the chain, the kid, the clippings. I mean, oh, no, cool. Look, if I was a woman, I'd be like, off the chain, right? So, but every year, too, the prices go up. They go up. Yo, look, supply and demand, right? So, yeah, the prices go up every year for Valentine's Day and stuff. But I'm in that mug yesterday, just looking around. I'm not behind the Powerball on this at all. I'm well ahead. But the freaking, I'm up in that mug, and they basically sold out. And I'm like, hey, that happens every year. But it's cool. But because I believe that I love love. Without a doubt, I love love. Without a doubt. So I'm not opposed to, you know, people getting gifts from one another. But I want something every now and again. You know, take me out every now and again. Show me a good time every now and again. This is one of them times when you should be like, I'm going to take my man. You know, he's gonna turn right back around and make sure I'm good for Easter. He's going to turn right back around and make sure I'm good for Mother's Day, then my birthday, then our anniversary. How often do I really get to do something for him, right? Father's Day, maybe. His birthday, yeah. He really ain't getting too much for our anniversary, right? I mean, that's more about me than him, right? This should be really the time that you step up and do something for your man. Please, do something different, you know? That's where I'm at on that. But the story that I'm in love with, another story I'm in love with, is a story that came from today.com, and it's entitled Everlasting Love. Couple, 98 and 101, celebrate 75 years of marriage. And the way this dude is looking at his wife is he's looking at her like they were 15 and 16, and he's still smitten with her. I mean, the look in his eyes at his wife is like, that woman there, woo, that's that look, man. And I enjoyed it from the moment I saw it. And then to read the story was even better. And here's the story. It was 1934. And William Fullwood, a young baseball player in the Negro Leagues, wanted nothing more than to marry Willa May, a God-fearing, God-loving woman who taught in a one-room school in Georgia. She initially spurned him because of their three-year age difference, but 8 children, 23 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren later, William says he has eternal Valentine. Today, William, 98, and Willie May, 101, share a room at the Mount Laurel Center for Rehabilitation in New Jersey, and their love has endured. She kept telling me I was too young, but I kept coming back. William told staff at the center who recently threw a joint birthday party for the devoted couple, according to the Mount Laurel Sun. One day she called me and said she was ready. After some persuasion, William won her over, according to their youngest son, Ernest Fullwood, 59, who lives in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. The couple's warm heart love story, reported and photographed by the Courier Post, has stood the test of time because it's the real deal, says their son. They are truly in love, Fullwood told Today. They don't ever have a bad thing, and they are always cheerful and never cranky or moody. They said they are blessed to wake up each morning. My parents are the sweetest couple you ever want to see, added the former New York State Trooper, who is now a pastor with the Salvation Army. Both are reasonably healthy, though William is more mobile than his wife. Fullwood said his father had been driving his car until age 97. God dang, that brother didn't want to get up, did he? The couple met in Dublin, Georgia, where Fullwood said his father stumbled upon my mother at a school-related event. She was a church-going girl, so he had to be straight, he said. He was young and handsome, quite a ball player, but when he was not playing ball, he had to make a real living. So the couple went to Florida, where William worked at military bases, and when work dried up, he did some farming. Still kind of segregated then, and you found work when you could, said his son. They migrated to New Jersey in the 1950s. Willa May loved gardening and sewing. She was a great housewife, mother, and grandmother. To Fullwood, she was like a diamond, and my father was blessed to find her. When Willa May had difficulty walking, she was sent to Mount Laurel for rehabilitation. William drove back and forth for nearly a year until his children suggested he join his wife. I told them they wanted to be in the same room, Fullwood said. We had been trying to get my father to sell the house and go into assisted living or find a nursing home, but he still wanted to be his own man and do things the way he wanted to. Since then, staff have become close to the couple. He takes very good care of her, like a mother, bending down to get her clothes and making sure she has the right breakfast and activities directed at Maria Goldman, 43. And Goldman organized a joint birthday party for the couple, inviting not only Mount Laurel's mayor and council members, but Michael Daniels, number 76 of the Green Bay Packers, whose mother works at the facility. All but two family members arrived from Washington State, Florida, North Carolina, New York, and Maryland for the celebration. You should have seen the smiles on their faces at their son. Good genes running the family. Willa Mae had two sisters, both who lived until their 90s, but Fullwood credits his parents' faith with the strength of their marriage. They are longtime members of the Second Baptist Church of Morristown. My mother got my father to the church, he said. He's very strong will, but thank God he knows the Lord. William and Willie Mae, devotion to each other is just as strong. I love them, said Ann Klein, their 33-year-old occupational therapist. She'll grab your hand and hug you as soon as she sees you. William is somewhat more reserved. He's very gentlemanly and charming. This is the best part of my work, seeing love that lasts. Now, that is what's up. And for you all out there who are going through it, are in it, whatever, enjoy the ride for as long as you possibly can. You know what I'm saying? Love is a beautiful thing. It's even more beautiful when it really, really works. And two people are focused on making it work and putting in the work necessary to have a long-lasting love. You all be safe. You all be good. Please enjoy this celebratory week. If I wouldn't call it a holiday. But enjoy this celebratory weekend. For those of you whom are off on Monday because it's President's Day, I hate you all equally because the rest of us have to freaking work still. Y'all be easy. Take care until next week. Actually, I'll be in Tampa next week. Yes, Lord, I'm turning to the ghetto version of Tom Joyner. I'll be in Tampa next week, so I'll be doing the show from there. I'll either be in Tampa on Saturday or in Miami. I haven't decided where I want to be. My cousin retires on Friday, so I have to. I don't have to, but I'm. Well, yes, I do. I have to be there for his retirement in Tampa. I just haven't decided if I'm going to stay in Tampa for the entire time or do some other things. But I'll be in Florida no matter what. You all be good. You all take it easy. Peace.